Welcome to the IC Church podcast. We pray this message helps you to love, build, and reach your world.
Amen. You can grab your seats. Thanks, worship team. We're going to dive straight into the word this morning. Paul's in Tasmania today, and he's enjoying the weather, much more than our weather. He says it's cool at night, there's no humidity, so that's something to be jealous of, isn't it? So anyway, but let's just jump into the Word of God, and we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3 today, and let's just get right into it. You ready for the Word? Oh, only some people, but you ready for the Word? Holy Spirit, I pray as the Word is preached that you would just speak to us today, what we need to hear, what we need to address, where we can grow and where we can mature. And I pray, let that word of your bringing forth, Lord God, through me, let it just fall on fertile soil today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 3 says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I love this passage of scripture. I love Philippians. But, you know, every December, usually, you know, between that week, you know, the week where you have no idea what day it is between December and, you know, into January, I have this strange thing that I do almost every year, and I just get into decluttering mode big time. It's the bane of Paul's existence that he's trying to watch the cricket and he has a wife who's emptying cupboards all around him, coming in front of his face going, do you still need this? And he loves it. It's one of his special moments every year. It's funny how, you know, Sam disappears from the house for that week because it means going through his things as well. And so this year I set about every room in the house, every cupboard I decluttered. And it was a mammoth effort, but I just felt I just had to get rid of some things to prepare some space for this year and to just make some room in my life. And, you know, be like, have you used this? And it'd be like interrogation of my family. When was the last time you used it? Like, seriously, how many times have you used it? Nah, four times isn't enough. It's gone. Like, and don't be sentimental in my house because it's out the door. It's like, Paul, what is this? It's like this, you know, famous painter gave me this picture. I went, nah, that's not a good enough reason. It's out, you know. All these things. I go, if it hasn't got a place, we're getting rid of it. And so this is something that happens, you know, the Christmas tree, you know, Boxing Day, it's gone. Like, you know, the presents, put them away. The food, the fridge is cleared. Everything is done. I'm just ready for a reset to get ready for a new year. And I just want to speak to you on this thought just shortly this morning. It's time for a reset. It's time for a reset. And, you know, I'm not talking necessarily about, you know, a physical reset today, going home and doing all the work in your house. I'm talking about a spiritual reset. And we're early enough in the year that I think it's good to just take stock sometimes and have a look at our lives and go, what kind of things do we need to deal with so we can move on and lay hold of what God has got for us? And I love in verse 13 of what this passage I just read, the Apostle Paul, he goes, I haven't made it. I haven't achieved perfection. And I kind of figure if the Apostle Paul could say, I haven't achieved it yet, I'm pretty sure that leaves us definitely in the same boat as him. I haven't reached it. I haven't achieved it. I'm not willing just to sit back and just rest right now because there's so much more of God to lay hold of. But I love what he says in verse 13, but I focus on this one thing. And I really just want to bring us to this thought today. It's time to focus on one thing. And I'm going to break this down a little bit, but let me read it from a few different versions today. In the Passion translation, it says, I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. I love that. And the amplified version as well. It says this, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love this. And what you've got to understand, the Apostle Paul, good to get some context. It's a letter he's written to the church in Philippi, and it's a letter of thanks. They've been such a blessing to him, but he's also wanting to encourage them in their faith and even in persecution and even in hard times that you can know joy and you can still persevere in your faith. And I think what makes this letter to the church in Philippi so extraordinary, all these things about persevering and having joy, it was written while Paul was in prison. And it's mind-blowing that he's just saying you can forget what's behind and you can press on. He couldn't even go anywhere. And yet he had this heart attitude to continually move on in the things of God. And so I really believe for us all, it's time for a reset. It's time for a spiritual reset before we get too far into this year, before we get too stuck in the same old of what we do all the time. It's time to take some stock and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Maybe we need to remove some clutter from our life. Maybe we need to persevere regardless of some of the circumstances that we're facing. But, you know, I love that the Apostle Paul had a reset mechanism in his life. He says, I just focus on one thing. Now, his one thing, you know, I'm going to break into three things, but it's still one thing. His focus was on, you know what? I forget the past and I look forward. Forget the past, look forward. I press on to reach the end of the race and I receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus Christ is calling us. I want to unpack this thing today, this one thing. It was a reset mechanism. And I really believe the Apostle Paul had to revisit this many times in his life. When there were tough circumstances, challenges all around him, he goes, hang on a minute, I know what to do. I'm going to focus on this one thing. I'm going to forget, press on and receive the prize that which Jesus has called me to. And I want to encourage all of us this year, when you get this mindset, you go, not maybe it's a time to forget. Maybe it's a time to press on. Maybe it's time to pursue the prize that Jesus has actually called us to. But let's look at the first one. Forget. Forget. Well, I am blessed naturally being over 50. This is really easy for me. You know, it's really easy that you could walk into a room and go, I know I'm here for a reason. I could feel it deep in my bones. I'm here for a reason. And then you have to walk around, do a lap of the house and go, I remember the reason. At least I can still remember. It's when you can't remember, you're in big trouble. But, you know, we need to forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. The extraordinary thing is, I think some of us are trying to look forward to what lies ahead, but we haven't actually dealt with the past. We're still looking back at the past. I remember my son Sam came home one day from school and he had the biggest black eye. And I said, what on earth happened? He goes, I ran into something. I go, but how do you run into? I said, what did you run into? He goes, a pole. I went, how do you run into a pole? He goes, I was running backwards. And I went, that's kind of a key right there. Don't run backwards. And some of us actually have to turn and look at some things and go, you know what? We need to deal with that. Forget it. Forgive it. Heal it. And move on so we can lay hold of what God's actually got for us moving forward. And there's nothing worse than straddled between the two. When you can actually say intellectually, yeah, I know I need to do that. And I know God's got stuff for me. But I can't do that. And I can't step into what God's got for me. And there is something powerful when we need to forget. And it's a choosing to forget. It's choosing to forget the past and all those things that are involved. The pain, disappointment, maybe broken relationships. failed endeavors, betrayals, whatever it is, we all have to make a decision to forget. Because I'm sure if we handed out the microphone and did a interview session right now, all of us would go, oh, I've got something. I've got a pain. I've got a pain from 1965. And I'm going to tell you, still raw in my spirit today. We've all got something we could share. But I'm just so mindful. The Apostle Paul goes, you know what? But look what lies ahead. Look what I've got for you. God's got for you. We've got to make the choice to deal with these things, to forget these things. There is nothing worse than starting a new year with all the hurt, the bitterness, rejection, disappointment from last year. When we walk in and go, well, it's probably going to be the same as last year. Those people are going to be the same and everything's going to be the same. Forget. And I love the definition in the context of the scriptures here. It means something, forgetting is to have it out of your mind, where you no longer care or carry it. And it's a powerful thing to go, I forgave, but have you forgotten? Is it out of your mind? Is it not constantly there day in, day out? And that's what we want to do. But, you know, we've got to look forward. We've got to forget the past and not just look forward, but look forward with expectation and actually have a sense of, well, God, you're doing something. There is a work in forgetting. You know, I love that Paul is writing this from prison. Every day he had to forget because he wanted to serve Jesus faithfully where he was. Every day he could have said, I'm just looking at my chains. I'm looking at my jailers. I'm just looking at all the circumstances. But daily he would have to choose, I forget and I still look forward to what God's got for me. I tell you what, that's a pretty bold move to be able to look forward to what God's got when you're in prison, when there's no hope even potentially of a release. He was in prison many times and yet he was able to say, you know what, it's time to forget some of these things to look forward. He had to forget his past. He was a murderer. He carried so many things from his past that he had to say, I have to forget. I have to deal with that. I have to not let it come and be my identity. My new identity is a new creation in Christ so I can move forward in him. And some of us still carry all these things, these tags, these labels of who we are and go, you know, in Christ, I am a new creation. That's the past. We need to forget it and deal with it so we can look forward to what God's got before us. He also had to forget his accomplishments. You know, he was an intellectual man. He was an academic, really, by today's standards. And yet he had to leave those things behind rather than rest on, I'm smart, I'm superior, I'm better than everyone else. He had to leave those things behind so he could look forward to what God had for him. You know, Isaiah 43 says this, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. My greatest fear is I would miss the new thing that God is doing because I'm still here. Forget. Look forward to what God has actually got for you. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was in a situation and meeting with some people. And as I was there, it was just like everything was rising up with me. I was with a person that I thought I'd forgiven. And I was just having, heart palpitations, triggers. No, it wasn't physical. It was definitely internal. But, you know, all those moments came flooding back of hurt. I wanted to be vindicated. I wanted revenge. You know, let's be honest. All these things just came back and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, probably haven't forgotten that, have you? And I went, no, that's something I have to let go of. That's something I have to not be in my mind, not something I'm still caring about. And I had to go and say, Holy Spirit, I really need to ask for forgiveness. I forgive that person. Now would you bring healing to this situation? I don't want to see a person and something happens in my heart. And I tell you what, when you do those things and consciously, this is something we do often, not just once in a lifetime. I'm going to deal with it so I can lay hold of what's in front of me. That will not be something I carry I'm going to move forward in Jesus. Forget. It's so important. You know, Father's Day last year, we had an incredible man of God, Pastor Gary Levins, come and minister. And it was such a special morning. He just brought the heart of God. I felt like the heart of God was just preached that day. And, you know, he's a man in his 70s. And you know what I love about Pastor Gary? He's in love with Jesus. He carries joy. He's still looking forward to the good things God wants to do in his life, you know, and in the church. He's not cynical. He's not jaded. He's not bitter. And you just go, well, maybe he's had a perfect life. I know for a fact he hasn't had a perfect life. But there's something about him that just radiates the goodness of God. And at 70, I don't want to be the person that's bitter, that's miserable, that's cynical. I've seen it all before. I don't want it. There's enough of those. I want to be the person going, I can forget that because I have full confidence that God's got something amazing to look forward to. It's a reset. And my challenge to you today is please don't put up your hand right now. But maybe some of us have to forget some things. Maybe we have to ask the Holy Spirit, can we deal with that once and for all? Can we leave that behind? Because I'm straddled in the middle right now and I'm not laying hold of all that God's actually got for me. Let's be people. It's a key the Apostle Paul gave us. Forget. Everyone say forget. Yes. Awesome. The second part of this is we've got to press on. Press on. You know, he says, I press on to the end of the race. You know, my kids, when they used to do cross-country races at school, they came home, I think my youngest came home one day and he goes, Mum, we've worked it all out. We run when the teachers can see you. But as soon as you get into the bushes, it's like walk and talk with your friends. Hey, how you going? And you share food and you have a great time. And then as the teachers see you, you run and you make the finish line. And I thought that was actually hilarious. But you know, how often do we do the same thing? Oh, God's not looking now, so I can just have a little relax. We're called to press on. You know, even in challenging situations, can I encourage you, press on. There is only one option. We keep pressing on. We can't stay where we are. We can't get complacent. We have no other option to turn back. We haven't got an option to stop. Don't let these be options in your life. Have a press on attitude that you may be in your worst season right now, but the only way forward is we'll press on. You may be in the season where you have no idea what you're doing. You know, the only thing to do is we keep pressing on. We keep moving forward in the things of God. And I love that the context again of this scripture, it's talking this pressing on, even in persecution or pain, a deliberate choice to follow after God. That's what pressing on is. It's not a sprint and then we lay down because we've exhausted ourselves. It's a pressing on. And it recognizes there's actually more of God. So why would I stay where I am right now? You know, we receive salvation in just a moment. When we meet Jesus, our life is transformed. But the Holy Spirit, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit for the rest of our lives to do a work in us, pressing on. It's a powerful thing. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, when he's talked about pressing on, can you think about his context? He was in a shipwreck. Could you imagine as you're holding a piece of wood floating in the ocean? I'd be having some serious conversations with the Lord at that point. But he's going, let's press on, people. I'd be like, Jesus, take me now. I did not sign up for I thought it was a cruise and we're shipwrecked. And he's like, let's press on. When he was beaten, come on, let's press on. You know, when he was bitten by snakes. Now that is a reality in Australia. He was pressing on. When he was under persecution, let's press on. When he was even put in prison, like I said, more than once, let's press on. Poor Silas that day in prison with him. It says at the midnight hour, Silas is probably, what? He would have been me crying. I would have been crying in the prison. And Paul's going, come on. I do this all the time.
I do it all the time. I'm in prison, shipwrecks. Can you imagine him sharing his stories? And he goes, you know, there's only one thing to do right now, Silas. We press on. We keep going. We don't stop. Even with pain, we've made a decision. We're going forward in the things of God. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says this, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. What an incredible thought. 2 years ago, I think Paul took me down to Tasmania. We were at church on the Sunday and he goes, I'm going to take you for a bushwalk, Joe. That's not words I usually like to hear. I'm thinking like a day spa or out for lunch or something. He goes, it's an easy bushwalk. And I went, okay, I'm up for it. Now, I've got some challenges in my knees, no pain, but they just don't bend like normal people's knees. And we're at Cradle Mountain and he just says, I'm going to choose a walk for you that's really easy. And I went, Paul, I'm trusting you. I'm putting my life in your hands. And there's the walk that you can do around the lake. And he goes, I think that might be too hard. What I'll do is there is another walk and I've read it, it's easy. And I went, okay, it's easy. Now, you know where this is going, obviously. We start out on this walk and I'm confident and I'm bushwalking with my husband. And, you know, you've got to understand, anytime I walk with Paul, I have to, hey, over there. How is it in the future? Because I'm back here. That is my reality, all right? If you ever see us not walking together, that's the reason. I think he forgets me and then he has a moment. Oh, Joe's with me and we have a catch up. So anyway, he's off. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. My husband believes in me. This is easy. And then the path disappeared. I couldn't do the lake one, he said, because that was too hard. But then this is like a goat track and there's people going on this track with sticks. And I remember at one point, it's like so narrow, I had to kind of put one leg in and then I am doing moves you've never seen before. And I hope no one ever took photos, let's just say that. I'm like crying like, Paul, if this is easy. And I'm thinking I am an absolute loser because this is easy, right? This is easy. And I'm a loser. I'm just a loser. I can't do anything in life. I'm hopeless. And Paul just kept saying, we're nearly there. And I reckon for an hour he said, we're nearly there. And this is how he described it. He goes, there's only a tiny little difficult part and then it's a boardwalk and it's beautiful and wombats will walk by you and it's just going to be amazing. Well, we never saw that. I remember a lady coming the opposite direction and she had sticks. And I went, excuse me, how much further? How much, is it just around the corner? She says, oh no, that's a good 40 minutes still before you get to the car park. And I'm like, now I'm angry. It's amazing what you can do when anger comes on you. It's like supernatural strength came on me that day because I'm angry at Paul. And I was like, I'm going to finish this just to spite him. And that day I lay on my bed when I got back and I didn't move for 24 hours. He's apologised many times. He read it wrong. It was actually a difficult track, not an easy track. So if you want to go bushwalking with Paul, do your own research. That would be my advice. But there is something about pressing on. You see, when you're in a challenging situation, even that track that I was walking on, there's no point sitting down. There's no point just going, well, I'll give up. I would have been still there today. I would have hoped someone would have brought me food. The only way out sometimes is I just take another step and I just take another step. We've just got to be people who take one step, just one step. Just do what God's asking you to do right now and you will walk through and you will press on. Amen. Worship team, come and join me. The third part of this, so we're going to forget, press on. It's all part of our spiritual reset. But we want to win the prize. We want to win the prize. And it says to receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. You know, years ago at school,
my kids are at school, they launched a fundraising program. The funny thing was, if you raised a certain amount of money, you would win an iPad or something like that. I don't know, actually, it was a remote controlled car, I think it was, back in the day. And you had to raise like $1,000. And I remember looking at Paul going, it'd be way cheaper to just buy the remote control car and give it to our kid than to raise $1,000. But you know, that's not what it's all about. There is something about winning the prize. And I think sometimes we've changed what we think the prize is. We've made it something of temporal value rather than of eternal value. And some of us are living for the prize that is so far below what Jesus actually has for us. We think the prize is a house. We think the prize is a car. We think the prize is a spouse, or maybe even our healing, and all those things are great. But maybe we need to reset what the prize is in our life. If you want to keep going forward, to be able to forget and move forward and press on, you've got to know why you're pressing on. To lay hold of all that which Jesus laid hold of me for. What's the prize? It's so important we understand that. And there is a prize. I love that. An award to the victor. We've reduced our prize, this prize, to things. But there's the blessings. They're not the prize. You see, I'll tell you what the prize is. When the Lord says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. The prize is the accolades of heaven, not man. The prize is the pursuit of his purpose and doing all that he's asked us to do. The prize is actually being on a mission for him. The prize is sharing our faith. I love that Olivia was able to share her faith with her dad. That's the prize. The prize is serving others just as Jesus served us. It's eternal, not temporal. And we need to understand that, because I feel like some of us have reduced our Christianity to getting things. Can I tell you the ultimate prize? It's Jesus. Jesus himself. That he is our all in all. That he is our everything. That he is our all sufficiency. That he is our joy, that he is our hope, that he is our strength, that he is our rock, that he is our shelter, that he is our tower, that strong tower that we can run into. He is the prize. And even as we start at the beginning of this year, it's really good to have blessings that we're believing for. But it's another thing to know why you're living life. And what you've set your pursuit on, so you can forget, so you can press on, because he is the prize. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, everything else is like garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Can you imagine saying that? Everything else is like rubbish compared to the pursuit of knowing Jesus. So much so that Paul said, I'd actually really rather go to heaven. So for me to die is the best news ever, because I get to be with Jesus. I get the prize. But it's probably good for your sake that I stay around a bit longer. What a consolation prize. That's how he saw it. That's the consolation prize. I get to teach you about Jesus. But ultimately, the best thing that could ever happen is I get to be with Jesus. 2 Timothy 4 says this, I have fought an excellent fight. I have finished my full course with all my might, and I've kept my heart full of faith. There's a crown of righteousness waiting in heaven for me, and I know that my Lord will reward me on his day of righteous judgment. And this crown is not only waiting for me, but for all who love and long for his unveiling. You know, I remember hearing that scripture for the first time, or when I remembered it when I was 15, I heard at my papa's funeral, he passed away, and that was the scripture that they read. He fought the good fight. And I remember as a 15-year-old just blown away. Wow, you can finish the race. You can do it well. You can give everything. And actually going, I did it for Jesus.
And I love my grandfather. You know, he was an alcoholic before he met Jesus. He was a sailor in the Navy, had tough situation and circumstances, but he met Jesus. And it didn't get easy after that. There was lots of poverty. There were lots of challenges. But he committed his life to a pursuit of Jesus. So much so that at his funeral, he did it. He did it. He did it. What a celebration. And I just really felt today, at the start of a newish year, it's good to have a spiritual reset. It's good to forget and deal with some things. It's good to keep just pressing on. What's the next step? Just take a step. Just keep moving forward. But it's also good to know there's a prize. What's your prize? Maybe it's just being the things of this earth. Well, can I encourage you, lift your eyes and let Jesus be your prize. I finish with this. Then we're going to worship and just pray. This week I got to go to a presentation by Open Doors, which is an organisation that works with persecuted Christians and persecuted church all over the world. And they were sharing their 50 countries where Christians are at the most risk of persecution. They went through those countries and just shared a bit about them. And the CEO, the director for Australia and New Zealand, he said, it's really interesting. When we in Australia pray for peace, it's very different for how Christians in these countries pray for peace. We pray for peace. We pray for the weather to be nice. We pray for nice houses. We pray for comfort, basically. They pray for safety. They pray for the courage to stand under duress. And it's amazing. Sometimes we just need a reset to align ourselves to the very heart and the very things that God has got for us. We need to forget. Let's deal with those things that the Holy Spirit puts in our heart. We need to press on and keep going. Don't get stuck. And we need to go, there is a prize, not based on anything of this world can offer me, but Jesus himself. Why don't you stand in this place? Why don't you just raise your hands just for a moment today? I just want you to pray. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me about today? What do I need to do? What do I need to reset in my life today? And just for a moment, let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. Where do you need to reset? Lord, today we present ourselves to you again. God, not filled with the clutter of this world, the things of this world. But God, we would want to be your vessels, used by you to do your work, the things that are important to you. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have a reset, Lord God, that you would just take us further than we could ever imagine. I pray for grace for people to forget and forgive. I pray for strength today for people to press on. And I pray for a fresh eyes open to see the prize. It's eternity, Lord God. And I just pray that you would do a work in us collectively as a church, Lord God. Reset us. Reposition us. Position our hearts where you want us, Lord God, for this next season, I pray. We thank you, Jesus, just with heads bowed and eyes closed. You may be here today and I'm telling you, you don't just need a reset, you need a restart. You may be here, you don't know Jesus. You've never actually invited him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've never surrendered yourself to the Lord today. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer right now and I'd love to invite you to pray this prayer with me, saying, I need Jesus in my life. I need to give him my life. You may have heard about him all your life. You may have never heard about him. But today you can start a journey with Jesus. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you say, yep, would you pray for me, Joe? On the count of three, would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for today? One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else just so I can see right now? Just raise your hand up nice and high. Thank you. You can pop it down once you've raised your hand. Awesome, church. Can we pray a prayer today and stand with these people who've prayed and said, yeah, I need a restart. Can you do that with me today? Come on, let's pray. Dear Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Saviour. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate for a moment right there? Awesome. And there's a Bible here. We have a Bible we'd love to give you. This is my friend Bruno down here, and he's love to give you a Bible. So those people who raise your hand straight after the service, we'd love to come and connect with you, give this to you. Come and meet us. We want to pray with you and help you get started on that journey. But church, that's a great thing to happen today where people have said yes to Jesus. Can I encourage you? Don't be like me and just clean your house. Let's reset our hearts as well for what God wants to do. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a connect group, come and meet some of the team in the foyer straight after the service. Let's do family this year. It's going to be really powerful. But why don't we go out of this place praising today?
Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about IC Church, visit icchurch.com.